is Senate Judiciary Committee meeting in Hearing Room B. Today is June 12th. Today's hearing is at 1 p.m. Bills to be considered for the work session are House Bill 23, excuse me, for the hearing are House Bills 2336 and House Bill 2337. The following 23 House bills are up for work session. 2651, 2007, 2076, 2083, 2085, 2090, 2116, 2126, 2205, 2222, 2256, 2257, 2258, 2334, 2359, 2361, 2461, 2649, 2671, 2685, 2743, 2795, and 2958.
All right, it's 1:35 p.m. The Senate Committee on the Judiciary will come to order. A subcommittee of Senators Fadley, Brown, and Fry will take public testimony on House Bill 2336 first.
These are pretty much
really. Okay, Mr. Santos, come on up.
My name is Danny Santos, President of the Hispanic Political Action Committee. We'd like to testify on behalf of 2336. We have submitted for you in the book there an outline of analysis of what the law is currently and also what some of the problems we face, our concerns with the law. And also attached to that is the current status of the bill as amended by the House. What I'd like to do for you today is simply outline some of the concerns we've had from the community, the Hispanic community, and simply share those with you. The problem basically stems from, can be highlighted to an incident that took place in 1983 where some migrant farm workers were diagnosed as having typhoid by doctors in the Woodburn area. At that time, their understanding and the understanding of both public health agencies was that they were under, they were not only authorized, but rather their guidelines indicated that they should turn these suspected aliens over to law enforcement officials for possible INS investigations. The problem with this is that, of course, that if that concern starts to affect the community's acceptance of health services, we're likely to see that there's going to be some possible communicable disease out there that may affect the community at large, and these people may not come forth for health services if they're afraid of or concerned about possible immigration investigations. We believe that the bill simply remedies the situation by simply indicating that health agencies, state health agencies, really have no statutory obligation to investigate the legal status of the patients that come before them, that their responsibility be primarily one that they're obligated to, and that is health services. And we don't really think that causes a conflict with their services nor with INS's immigration services. So at this time, I'd be glad to submit that for your consideration and answer any of your questions.
Okay. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, is there a statutory duty at the present time? Now, the summary of Ian Gross says deletes the requirement that an officer in a public institution inquire into the nationality of a person committed thereto. A person would not be committed, would they, if they're just in for treatment?
Well, no. What the situation that arose in 1983 was that these people were quarantined, and therefore the agency felt that that came under committed, and there was misunderstanding about as to what commitment actually stood for. And that's the real emphasis of the bill, is to clarify that they really have no obligation, committed or otherwise, to inform or to do an investigation as to the status, the alienage of these patients.
Now, there's a second in the summary of alien voters, it talks about deletes requirement of the clerk of a court report convicted aliens to federal immigration authority. Is that the case also? You didn't mention that in your testimony. I'm not sure if that's...
On the 36, on the summary?
Yes.
Okay, right. As to the convicted aliens, that situation wouldn't be affected here, simply because at that time their status has already been defined. What's been the effort by this bill is to avoid the public health agencies from having to do that kind of investigation, that kind of suspicion. But once they've been a convicted alien, then their status has already been determined.
The summary again on the ANGRO says deletes requirement that the clerk report convicted aliens to federal immigration authority. Is that correct or incorrect? I'm looking at ANGRO.
Thank you, Senator Brown. I really don't recall, you know, in our House testimony on that bill, the court clerk's action on this bill. It was primarily centered on public health agencies and public facilities.
Well, the original bill, as requested by your organization, has that also in the summary. I'm not saying that that's bad or good. I'm
right.
Just trying to find out. I thought this was a health bill, and I see it has some other implications also.
That is, like I said, that's my first indication of a court involvement in this. I'm sorry about not knowing more about that.
Well, it's in the bill, you know.
Right.
It's in the summary. If that summary is incorrect, we should delete it. And if it's if it's correct, then I'm not sure if that's a proper or improper.
My recall of the testimony that court clerks really weren't involved in the situation. It had to do more with the public institution officers.
Well, maybe our counsel can tell us whether this bill does that particular, makes up that statutory deletion. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Sure. Senator Simmons?
Normally in getting a medical history, doesn't the institution ask considerable questions about ancestry and other factors that might have a bearing on the health?
That's correct. They deal with a lot of patient history and family history.
And would this so if the institution was aware of the fact that the patient was in fact an illegal alien, would they, under this, they would not report it? Is that correct?
Well, our concern there being that the public health agency or public institution may not have all the facts necessary to make a determination as to alienage. For instance, a patient may have been born in Mexico, the whole family may have been born in Mexico and been naturalized, and unless they actually made a specific, you know, inquiry as to that kind of status, they really wouldn't have a proper facts to make a determination. The concern here, once again, being is that there's no preoccupation about the facts being brought out as to family history, patient history. It's more of the concern being that if this information is then turned over to immigration officers for their based on suspicion that they may be here illegally, what is likely to happen is that these families may not be coming forth for health services, and that's going to be an endangerment to the community at large.
Well, does a person normally have a duty to make a report if he knows a crime being committed or that an illegal alien is in the country, which I guess is criminal?
I think if that person has the facts to determine that, I think there's some civil obligation.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. That'll close the public hearing. Stay right there, sir. Close the public hearing on 2336 and go to a public hearing on 2337.
Once again, I'm Danny Santos with the Hispanic Political Action Committee. And on House Bill 2337, we have again submitted a letter for your consideration outlining the law and the problems and some of the ramifications. And once again, I'll provide you a highlight of what are some of our concerns.
There's an engrossed version of this bill also directly behind the tab.
Attached to that. Thank you. Once again, the large majority of the law enforcement agencies throughout the state really have not participated in the actual, or tried not to participate in the actual enforcement of federal immigration law. There have been isolated incidents where some individual officer will pull over a Hispanic or other foreign-appearing individual based simply on their appearance and try to enforce federal immigration law. What we'd like to submit for this for the Senate Judiciary Committee is that federal immigration law is in fact civil law and to be enforced by federal immigration who has the training and the background to make these kinds of assessments and these kinds of investigations, and really to protect, I guess, Oregon citizens from what may be intrusions, harassments by law enforcement, state law enforcement officials. The ramifications of this kind of enforcement tend to be manyfold. One is that it may subject local, county, and state law enforcement officials into civil liability for violation of civil rights. And really, has this problem tends to be one of a congressional level. If the Immigration and Naturalization Service needs more person power to enforce these laws, then it should be a congressional issue and really shouldn't be one of the state legislatures to put forth supplementary resources, state resources, to the enforcement of federal immigration law. I think in our House testimony, some of the issues that came up was, well, to what extent do we really wish this bill to go? And once again, we think that any involvement on behalf of a local, county, and state law enforcement agency providing the transportation, being the headquarters or the center for communication services, any of those things really brings those agencies into liability for assisting in what may end up being a violation of civil rights. And furthermore, I think the community itself is concerned about the expenditure of these resources on this kind of enforcement of the law, which really they don't pertain to the typical local, county, state law enforcement, while at the same time subjecting them to possible liability. So once again, we submit this for your consideration and would be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair, did your organization support willingly, let's say, the amendments to House Bill 2337?
We had no conflict with the amendments to it because what it basically led to is that once a person was in fact arrested for a criminal offense, the arrest was based on a criminal action, not so much the appearance or suspicion of being there illegally, being an illegal alien. That's our major concern, again. It's not so much that we don't want to prohibit the criminal laws from being enforced, but simply to preclude either an intrusion or harassment of people simply based on their appearance, ethnic appearance. So once a person has been convicted or arrested for a criminal offense, that so much was not one of our concerns at this time. And a couple of things, too. It's on House Bill 2337. The House support was 54-1. And I'll go back to 2336 and say it was 55-0 on the support in the House. So and this House Bill 2337 passed the Senate last session under a different House number, and there was a conflict between the House rules. So this bill has been through the Senate, it's been through the House, and we simply have been caught in technicalities back and forth.
Mr. Chair, I do recall, that's why I'm pleased to hear that, because I thought I was deja vu, 2337, because I recall testimony that I myself had witnessed, both the law enforcement, people going into our high schools and pulling out students that were questionable in status, alien status.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, what would be the rationale? Why would a local law enforcement be wanting to verify the immigration status of a person that they have arrested? Why would they want to do that?
Once again, I can't see a real reason under their statutory obligations for the state or even county or local. I can't really see a reason for it. much of the line, Senator Simmons says that perhaps after getting a variety of information as to their background, or perhaps after the alien themselves may confess to the fact that they're here illegally, either on, like I said, either on the information given by the alien or a confession given by the alien, they may come under legitimate suspicion that this person may be here illegally and therefore have an obligation to assist in the enforcement. But other than those two fact situations, I'm really not sure what obligation they would have to investigate alienage.
I know of no legal status
required
to make reports. I knew in the Navy there was a general requirement to report offenses on military personnel, but I don't know that ever to apply to civilian life.
Mm-hmm. And a large number of court cases, likewise, and public services have said that there's really no obligation to inquire into alienage. That responsibility falls on the Immigration Service.
Any other questions? All right, thank you. Let's see, and we have Paul Tiffany.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Paul Tiffany. I'm the Administrator of the Wage and Hour Division for the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries. I'm here today representing the Commissioner, Mary Wendy Roberts. My purpose here is to bring to your attention the possibility of a conflict in state policy as expressed in this proposal and that of pertinent section of the Oregon's Farm Labor Contractor Law. We are also proposing an amendment which we believe will eliminate any possible conflict. The Farm Labor Contractor Law prohibits farm labor contractors from knowingly employing an alien not legally present or employable in the United States. In order to enforce this statute, the Bureau has found it necessary to accompany representatives of the Immigration and Naturalization Service when they check farm and forest labor crews for citizenship status. Though the Bureau does not assist in apprehending these persons, it might be interpreted by some that the Bureau does, in fact, assist in the detection of such persons. Since a law enforcement agency is not here defined, and to the extent that the Bureau of Labor and Industries could be defined as such, the Bureau's activities regarding the enforcement of the section of the Farm Labor Contractor Law could be so severely restricted as to render the statute useless. This is so because only the Immigration Naturalization Service has a statutory ability to determine the legality of a person's citizenship status, and it is for this reason that we accompany them. The Bureau's activities regarding enforcement of this section has been considerable. To date, we have revoked two licenses for violations of this law. We have another case pending in the Court of Appeals. We have two more pending hearings and six more under investigation in the agency. Therefore, so as to ensure that there are no possible conflicts, the Bureau proposes the following amendment. This can be placed at the, we propose it be placed in the after line 5 of the House amendments dated March 19th to read, for the purposes of subsection 1 of this section, the Bureau of Labor and Industries is not a law enforcement agency. Your serious consideration of this matter and adoption of this amendment would be appreciated. I have attached a copy of the pertinent section of the Farm Labor Contractor Law to which I speak.
Any questions? Senator Hendrickson.
Only to comment, I think it is a real problem. I don't know where the Hispanic community is on this amendment, but I think it wouldn't undercut the basic thrust of what they're trying to do. And it is a, I know that because we dealt in 1983 with legislation to try to address that problem, so I know that it's an important issue in the state.
Okay, you provided a copy of it, or staff of that?
Yeah, we have it in his testimony, the amendment.
Yes, Senator Fry, it's in my testimony, and I have provided it to your staff.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, could we find out from the Hispanic Political Action Committee how they feel on that amendment?
Yes, oh, sure. Mr. Santos.
Mr. Santos.
You just go ahead and tell us.
Sure.
You familiar with that? Then?
Yes, Mr. Tiffany kindly gave me a copy of the bill or his testimony. One of the concerns we had was to try to make this all encompassing so that agencies would not find loopholes involved here. And I think what was being testified to today and by this amendment or the offering of this testimony is a little bit of a distinction. What we in fact would like to have the target of these kinds of actions pursue. And the target is not so much the alien as it is the employer for illegal labor practices. So we're really not opposed to that objective. And the other distinction we see within the amendment itself is that it is almost an after-the-fact type of distinction. They simply assist the workers in trying to get their wages back, and really are there only after the fact that the arrest or the apprehension has taken place already by INS investigation. So really they don't lead or assist to the investigation itself. So the semantics may be at issue, but that we're really not opposed to the thrust of the amendment itself.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. All right, that's going to close the public hearing then on House Bill 2337, and we'll go to 2076. And then Senate Bill 2651, which is on the agenda, is the bill we passed out yesterday, and we were going to consider whether to add in Senate Bill 522.
Yes,
I've been told that that's no longer desired by the sponsors of 522, so we'll just go on with 2651 the way it is. So we're now.
Just to inquire, Mr. Chair, they found a different vehicle, or is this House side?
Well, Jim Cavill was the one that reported to me, and he said that there was a problem with saving this bill if we've got the other mixed up in it. What are you going to do? Okay. So we're looking at 2076, and that is.
Mr. Chair.
Counsel.
2076 is the attempt by the Law Improvement Committee to save Oregon's, at least a portion of Oregon's harassment statute. The court held that that portion was unconstitutional because it violates Oregon's free speech clause, and it appeared that the court hinted that if the prohibition were aimed more at conduct rather than the content of communication, that it would be possible to save that bill. We had some testimony on it that conflicted on that idea. Anyway, the bill as it stands now is the House Committee's attempt to preserve that portion of it.
We did have some testimony about the problem. Do you recall, counsel, specifically what that was? Or?
No, I'm afraid I don't. The
only one of those that I heard by myself.
Well,
well, any of them. I think that this is limited to the part of the statute involved in the case. And would take care of that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Chair, I'd like to move.
Yes, go ahead.
I'd move House Bill 2076 as amended in the House to the floor if the due pass.
Okay, Senator Hampson's moved Senate Bill 2076 to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Brockman? Brown?
Aye.
Cohen? Badlick?
Aye.
Hamby? Hendrickson?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Wires? Fry?
Aye. That carries. Okay. House Bill 2083. This is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, House Bill 2083 is quite a bit similar. It relates to the coercion statute. The Oregon Supreme Court held that the statute was unconstitutional because, once again, it ran afoul of the free speech provisions. This bill represents the attempt by the Law Improvement Committee to modify that language so it focuses more on conduct than content of speech in an attempt to save the statute. And I think I may have misspoken myself before. I think this is the one that there was some degree of confusion on rather than the harassment statute. There wasn't quite as much certainty as that this solved the problem that was intended to as on the prior bill.
Bass is kind of a difficult statute to try and straighten out in one's mind, but any questions?
Mr. Chair, I would like to move the bill forth if you can.
Okay. Senator Hickson will move House Bill 2083 to the floor. Who passed recommendation?
As amended.
As amended. I guess my feeling for doing so is that it attempts to address the problem, and I guess the final test won't be unless it's litigated. But I think I do think the purpose of those criminal statutes against coercion are important, and I would like to make an effort to see them strengthened.
Well, Mr. Chair, did we have amendments?
No, no, the amendments that we've got are House amendments, so we don't have to move
it. We don't have to move it as amended, because that is the...
Yeah.
Senator Fairley.
I can see that the House amended tortiously to become unlawful. Can counsel help me any by giving me examples of what the Supreme Court says unlawfully means, or... I'd accept Black's Law Dictionary.
I don't believe that the case addressed that issue. I think that's an improvement that the House Committee took it upon itself to make.
Well, but they changed tortiously, which was the way it was drafted, to unlawfully.
Yes, but I don't think that was in response to the case, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. How do I lawfully threaten to cause damage to property? How can I do that lawfully?
You can be a house mover, house wrecker.
Okay,
that's a good point.
But if I didn't have a permit, but however, the difficulty has to do with we're dealing with what somebody's saying here rather than what they're doing, and the threat to do something in the future, and the sort of the distance between that talk and the actual social conduct that we would all recognize as bad. Then down below it said criminally, and that was changed unlawfully by the House. I really feel I want to know what unlawfully means according to the courts, so I know what I'm talking about here.
Well, unlawfully, of course, is commonly used throughout the criminal code.
Is there a definition maybe at the beginning of it?
I'm not certain.
Well, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I think the original statute didn't have any kind of answer to modify it.
It didn't, that's
true. And I think that it would be, you know, unless you were privileged by law to be able to take that action, if it's contrary to law, that would be an element of the crime.
Yes. One of the action words up above is induces.
Mr. Chair, you could be a physician and tell the patient that unless you have this appendectomy, you just might be very ill. The patient does have the right to abstain from it. So we don't want the physician to be using criminal coercion when he lawfully causes physical injury to some other person by an operation.
Right, okay.
Rather specious, but...
So you're in Newsbury or is there something else that you're...
Well, I'm trying to find it lawfully and see if it's defined in the...
Can't find Newsbury.
No, that's because probably you might have an offense.
It's been lawfully removed.
Or unlawfully removed.
I don't know if unlawfully would be defined in the criminal code.
if you assume that it means without a lawful right to do something,
I would assume it means contrary to law.
Well, but this is the law that it would be contrary to. So putting the law that is contrary to, that it can be contrary to that, I'm still wondering what element of the offense you would have to prove as a prosecutor, or whether it's a separate defense of some kind. I'm wondering what it does for you. It's the only change that's in the bill are the additions of those modifiers.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
I don't think it would necessarily the unlawful would relate to that particular statute necessarily. I mean, if they have a lawful reason for causing injury to someone, it might not be related to them.
If I saw a completely deaf person starting to walk in front of a train, and they couldn't hear the train coming, and I shoved them aside, probably I haven't done anything improper, or I might be able to at least defend myself.
Unless you knock them aside into the train back.
It depends on whether I succeed, you're right.